zentralen Position. Nur Schweizer hat er vor sich. Dann ist es Fjellner. Der ist im Strafraum. Und der Treff. Tor! Tor! Für die Frankfurter Eintracht. 5:1. Herrje! Welche Leistung!
Hi and welcome to the German Fußball Podcast. The boys are back. We are joined back in the studio. And here we are, and with our... We look pretty good in our shirts, no?
Well, we do. I mean, the reason I put my World Cup shirt on from 1994 is that we're going into an international break for football fans all over the world. Either... Now, I think the most football fans don't like international break, to be honest. I mean, they love the national team, but they love to have the league games. And Marcus has put on, I didn't see that, but he put on the Eintracht Braunschweig shirt in the second Liga. And a good thing, a fun fact about Braunschweig, in the 70s, they were the first German team to put a sponsor on the shirt. Of course, the German Football Association was so against it and was... back and forth, if were they allowed to do it. And I found some ways to do it that was quite funny. I would Google that, have a look on that. But the first sponsor they had was Jägermeister. So not only had it a good choice, I would prefer them with Red Bull. But so that's Eintracht Braunschweig. But it's been a pretty intense weekend in the German Bundesliga.
It has, and it also has been for Braunschweig. They won against Karlsruhe 2-1, so they are 16th out of 18th. Not a good season for them so far. Before we go on to the round, how was it for you as a player for international breaks? Obviously, the national team, when you played, was pretty good for the majority of the time we were there, but was it a thing that you guys looked forward to? How did the club kind of approach it? What was the general feel?
I think that was interesting. I just been finishing a documentary about Erling Haaland. And there's two reasons why I said that, because I'm very proud of the documentary of Erling Haaland.
Yes,
yeah.
You should be.
But while I did that, one of the take or one of the films and one of the interviews I did was with Sander Berg of Sheffield United and Martin Ødegaard from Arsenal, of course, and Erling down from Manchester City. And they were sitting at the table at the team hotel. I've been fortunate to play 71 times for my country, 71 caps. And that was the first time, I think I called you afterwards, because I said it was the first time I missed football, because I never missed football. I thought I had my time. I knew the pressure. I was kind of a part of it. But I saw they loved to be good together.
Yeah.
And the good thing about being an international, you're out there, you're fighting hard, and you're fighting hard for your Norwegian team as well. And especially in the 90s, where we were quite good, and which I put on my World Cup shorts, and when we qualified in 94 World Cup for the first time since 1938 in Norway. But I think that feeling when you have a national team as now, you so look forward to say hello to your mates. And yes, it's going to be, for example, for the Norwegian players now, it's going to be Slovenia and Serbia. If they get 4 points, they will win the Nation League group, which means that they will be in the top one, which means they will play Germany or England or Spain or wherever, the top teams, Italy. So yes, I look forward to it all the time. But I know there are players, I know there are teams, and I know there are managers that... kind of put injury into any player. I think if you check back that Ryan Giggs, the great star, one of the great stars of Manchester United in the 90s, he never played a friendly for Wales. He was always injured. He was so unlucky every time they played a friendly.
They replaced the friendlies with Nation League games now, though. So
yes, which make it better. Yeah. But still, the gang that I was a part of, and I also told the players that when I was a team manager, I said, remember, when you die or when it summarizes your career, they will always put in your caps or your goals. They will never put on how much money you got or your bank account. And yes, it's important to put up some money for the rest of your life as well, but I think that you should be very proud playing for your country. I was very proud. I was fortunate to 14 or 15 times be captain for my country. Respect. And I think that is unbelievable. And a small on that before we start with the German Bundesliga is that now Martin Ødegaard, young captain for Norway, as he is from for Arsenal, but he was first the captain for Norway, Ståle Solbakken, our head coach, who used to train Köln back in the days. He made him that. And his vice captain is Erling Haaland. Mm-hmm. So why does he do that? Well, first of all, they both have great attitude, brilliant attitude, but it's also a way to kind of tied him up to your project.
Yeah.
And I can imagine when Erling Haaland now coming back from Germany with 11 goals in the Premiership, and he's scored in the Champions League and so on. But still, being captain for your country does do something for you. Mm-hmm. So I think that could be also for him and other players an extra motivation.
Absolutely. Thanks for that, for a little reflection about the international break. So we appreciate it this upcoming weekend. Going out to the Bundesliga.
Yes.
Let's get over the inevitable, the mini crisis at Bayern. The worst start, I believe, since the 2001-2002 season, I believe. What goes around the place? You call it FC Hollywood, and there are murmurs in the background and people coming out, and the first thing you hear is, oh, Kahn supporting Nagelsmann, and then you have certain other people commentating on it, and it becomes this like a larger than life type of crisis. How do you explain what's going around those corridors right now?
First of all, I have to correct you. There is never a mini crisis at Bayern. Is it either
it's zero or 100?
Either they win a trophy or there is a big crisis.
Yeah.
This time, though, we have to go back a bit, because at the end of the last season, they tried to get Erling Haaland, Robert Lewandowski, their superstar, 41 goals, beat the unbeatable record of Gerd Müller, and they kind of not let him go, but it was different things that he ended up going. Then they got Mané, which was a fantastic signing, still is. Great ambassador for them. And Julian Nagelsmann do, as Julian Nagelsmann, an old manager, will do. They say, we don't miss Lewandowski because now we can play more flexible. We can do more Nagelsmann kind of thing. And pundits in Germany was talking about Nagelsmann, oh, finally able to play his game.
Mm-hmm.
So they started, and Salihamidzic, being from one who was criticized to be one of the transfer winners, would tell the biggest talent. And now as well, he has he's done that. Youngest ever to score for Bayern in the Bundesliga. Still a lot of older than the Arsenal boy that came on, who was 15 years of age.
2007 he was born.
2007, unbelievable. But that's another story. And then De Ligt, he hasn't played that much. And the last five games, Mané hasn't scored either.
Mm-hmm.
But they started the season fantastically. They scored a lot of goals. And everybody's saying, no, we don't miss him. We don't miss Lewandowski. The reason I say that about Lewandowski is not that he wanted to go to Barcelona. And we can discuss why he wanted to do that. I think that after so many years, that was the right thing to do. The problem, no, they can't score goals. They played, they don't score enough goals. And the last 12 possibly points, they've taken, is it three?
Three.
3 points,
mm-hmm.
which is unbelievable. And I mean, and yes, you said, you can't go back to that. And now suddenly, which is Germany and Bayern. So is Julian Nagelsmann really mature enough? Remember, I love that. I don't know if I made that myself. The Mozart of football, Julian Nagelsmann, is 35. You feel like he's 12 because he's just the youngest coach ever. Then the Bayern players, as it always is, they will leak things out and say that they don't like that he's not self-critical enough. But remember, just 3 weeks ago, he was an innovative, fantastic coach who do all the things right. And to make it even more complicated, they had a convincing win at San Siro against Inter, difficult game, then a bad game in the Bundesliga. And then, yes, Robert Lewandowski had a big, big chance in Allianz Arena at 0-0 after 16, 17 minutes.
Big chances.
They had big chances in the first half. But Bayern go into halftime. Julian Nagelsmann probably say some wise words.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go out and chuck in 4 or 5 minutes with Hernandez and Sané.
Mm-hmm.
They win 2-0. So they have 6 points, top score in the Champions League. But now, this is unbelievable. They are 5 points after Union Berlin. They are fourth in the league. They are 1 point ahead of my Eintracht.
Mm-hmm.
Eintracht, who everybody said it had a terrible start to the season, if you follow the cliches of football. Will Bayern win it again, the Bundesliga? Of course they will. Of course they will win it for Germany. We all know that. The problem is, I think, the problem is not that an old Eintracht Frankfurt player sitting with his son in his guest room bedroom in Norway say that they will win in any way. The problem, I think, may be when we come to the Bundesliga, some of this feeling that I have and fans have and every pundit have that they will win it anyway, I think that goes over to the players. It seems that two of these four games they didn't win, they should have won, especially against Gladbach. Jan Sommer had a fantastic game. But in some of those games, especially Stuttgart and now against Augsburg, they play really bad. And I think that is worrying Julian Nagelsmann. That is worrying Salihamidžić. That is worrying Oliver Kahn. Because if you have a player with that attitude that the Bundesliga will win anyway, because look at Dortmund, they will lose 3-0 at Leipzig. But if you may say shitty, Dortmund have been quite good this season to win shitty games. Mm-hmm. They win with a 1-0 or they do their stuff. So I think this time, Bayern, in terms of the Bundesliga, should start worrying a bit because they have the quality, they have the best players, and they probably have the best coach as well. But if the mind is not there, if the mind is just there that we can win the Champions League, and now Mané, 5 games without scoring goals, to his standards, that is little. But also the fact that it was funny this weekend because Robert Lewandowski keeps scoring. So he kind of remind them all the time that they miss him. Yes, I understand the Bayern fans. They say that is an easy analysis for me, saying that Robert Lewandowski wanted to go and so on and so on. Yes, but they play without a number nine. And you can see it now, this flexibility that they said should be so good when he left. They're just running around. They're just crowded up and different wingers. And then the midfielders come into their position. I can't see how they want to score the goals. And what I miss, and we talked about that in other podcasts, what I do miss is the guy who make that 1-0. Because best goal getters like Erling Haaland or Robert Lewandowski, they make that 1-0. And that makes it easier when you score that in your head. And it makes it easier because the opposition don't have to come further forward. So I think this time it is a big crisis in Bayern.
And should Nagelsmann start to worry? We see murmurs of Tuchel, obviously, and him having gone the sack at Chelsea. What do you think his standing is within the club?
Well, I think his standing is good because, you know, when you fire managers like they did in Leipzig, for example, Oliver Minzlaff, we'll go back to him later when we talk about Christoph Freund, Freund going to Chelsea. But when you fire, well, he lost Nagelsmann. He sold him to Leipzig. Then he got Jesse March. He gave up after just a few games. Tedesco came in winning the cup and also secured the Champions League place. Then he's fired. And then Rose is coming. So every coach you fire as a CEO, as a head of sport, says that you did the wrong mistake. So you need a coach to come and do well straight away, or it's getting closer and closer to you. So I don't think that Salihamidžić and Oliver Kahn wants to fire Nagelsmann because he should be they bought him for 25 million euro. And they said it's going to be a long-term project integrating young players. But again, I have to quote my favorite coach of all time, Otto Rehagel, the legendary man who said, you can plan long-term, but you have to win short-term. Mm-hmm. And for you, Julian Nagelsmann, that is a fact. Yeah. I'm not sure that he wants to have this international break, talking over the breaks, because when you lose, like they did in Augsburg, you want to play a home game winning 4-0 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that Julian Nagelsmann will have the best time of his life. And Sunday, they were supposed to have the best time of their life because they were going to the Wiesn, the October beer festival. And there was a photo of them around the table. Salihamidžić tried to have a smile. The rest of them was just like very, very, very not smiling.
Yeah, it's funny when you go, because I've been in those situations where you're supposed to be disappointed, and you have to be, and there are certain people, I mean, you know, people are looking at you. But I'd say there is nothing, I don't think there's a better cure for him at the moment than a few beers at the Oktoberfest, get the international break and restart. But we'll see. We can do a Bayern special at a later point. We have other teams to go through.
Yeah.
And let's go through some of the call it transfers on the executive side. You mentioned briefly Freund from Salzburg to Chelsea. Give the audience a little insight into who he is and what he can bring to Chelsea.
Two interesting signings. One is, as we talk, not officially confirmed, that is Freund going to Salzburg. Max Eberl from Gladbach to Leipzig. That is confirmed as we speak. The funny thing is, these are two persons I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying quite good, but as you do in football, two great lads, two great human beings, two very likable persons, that two people that inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
And with Freund, I was with him at Stamford Bridge on Wednesday. Salzburg play there, and I work for Austrian TV on the game, and I joked with him that just stay or will you dare? And he kind of blah 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 blah. The further off the camera, so the furthest thing I can go that he went and said, of course, it's a compliment to the job he has done at Salzburg to doing that. So understand that Red Bull Salzburg, of course, is a part of the Red Bull construction. Freund came on as a kind of trainee to Ralf Rangnick.
Right.
So he came into the system. Don't tell the Chelsea fans that, but Ralf Rangnick is a brilliant building those kind of projects. So Christoph came on and just slowly worked his way up the ladder, being a part of that game. As I said, very likable, very credible, to have a big credibility to the work he's done. He has managed to get not only great coaches, they have a tradition of that as well, with Adi Hütter, Marco Rose, now Jaisler, who has taken them into Champions League, even to the group stage. They have created a model there, which is amazing. They're selling players for fun, and now they've gone from selling players for 5, 6 million to 50, 60 million. They had Erling Haaland there, Szoboszlai, if I always say that wrong, but going to Leipzig, Keita, Mane.
Yeah, further back, yes.
Yeah,
Upamecano.
Mm-hmm. All these players were up in Salzburg. And I got to know Salzburg close for two reasons, because I played in Rapid Vienna, so I follow Austrian football. And I also followed through Erling Haaland when he went there, because it was interesting why they went there. And Freund was one of the reasons, because he had built a system that create new players. And look at them now. Now they got Šeško, who next summer, he's already sold to Leipzig,
mm-hmm.
and then loaned back. You have Okafor, who has two goals, I think, in the mm-hmm. two first Champions League games. So they come in with new talents all the way. So he will always be kind of attract interest. And I say it, and I'm not saying that to be wise, no, but when Boehly fired Tuchel, we were all surprised, but because Tuchel is a great manager. But what we learned is the philosophy of Boehly in that, because he don't want that kind of manager. And when he went from Graham Potter, again, I called you and I said, no, they could go for Freund, because he has the same philosophy as Potter, the analytic, good man, just do your job. It's nothing to do with everything. Mm-hmm. We just build a good platform of the club. And Potter and Freund will work great together. I don't know him personally, Potter. I realized that my goalkeeper from Borough, Ben Roberts, is a goalkeeper coach. It was great to see him again at Stamford Bridge, but I don't know him personally. I know him from the days back in the 90s when we played. Yeah. And I must check if we played against each other. We probably did. So I didn't remember him of that. But I follow his career when he's going to Sweden, going to Swansea and Brighton, now to Chelsea. So that philosophy is great for Chelsea. It's a great, great signing. And of course, the owners, or Boehly, you can say a lot about him, but he's a typical American, successful in what he's tried to do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he should have done a bit more background thinking. But still, you see that he wants those kind of people in, and I kind of like that, because I think that the people who is good people and love to work and love to make a philosophy, they should have also a place in the top teams.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned Freund. We had Max Ebert, who we have discussed on the podcast over the last couple of weeks, in which you've said he is on his way to Leipzig. And funnily enough, we had Gladbach Leipzig in a game. I cannot call it the Max Ebert derby, yeah. But either way, Gladbach won deservedly against Leipzig. And it's one of those where you just cannot seem to wrap your head around who and what Leipzig are this season.
Now, and Marco Rose, after winning 3-0 against Dortmund and his former club, then he lose 3-0 against another former club, Gladbach, and deservedly so. But I think Leipzig this season, this is again Champions League. You have to just make sure that you got surely have enough good players to do that. Mm-hmm. So Marco Rose need to have a good year with Leipzig and stabilize that like Tedesco did. He took over from Jesse Marsh, Tedesco, and now Tedesco is gone and Rose has to sort out what Tedesco did, which is typical in German football. But back to Max Eberl. Max Eberl did a fantastic job at Gladbach, building them up to a regular, more or less, in the Champions League. Had some great games where I worked with him there. I met him at an event in Berlin. I so enjoyed his company. Still keep in touch. He's like a brilliant human being. He's one of those you want to work with. Then something happened to him that a lot of leaders it happened to, but maybe not everybody's open to, is that he got, I wouldn't say mental no, issues. He got exhausted, kind of depression kind of thing, you know? He was open about it. I said, I need some time out. And he went to his cottage. Not many do that during, and he would just stay there, came back. But then he realized, I don't have the power. I don't have. I'm like you said. I'm exhausted. So then he agreed to leave his job at Gladbach, but he was still paid by them. So right. So RB Leipzig now had to they have to pay a fee for him, and it has to be said as well that it's not been not uncontroversial because he's been an advocate for. That family kind of thing, feeling, building up a tradition club like Gladbach. Gladbach, a fantastic team in the 70s when they were competing with Bayern. But so he's been under critics now because he's kind of taken a part of the project that the so-called fans in Germany hate most is the kind of RB Leipzig kind of system who kind of bought the club, which is not allowed and blah, blah, blah. It's a long story. But he's there now. He's going to be CEO of sport. They have always find new titles in Germany.
Sounds like a cool role, though.
Yeah, head of sport, CEO of sport, team manager, sports director. And then you have Minslav, who will be his boss, was also linked to Chelsea as a kind of CEO of Chelsea, mm-hmm. Minslav. So Max Eberl will start the 15th of December. This is very exciting. I think that... RB Leipzig has got one of the best in the business. I think that's it's been a job, not the same job, but defined as the same job as since Marco Krösche went to Eintracht Frankfurt. So that's where he goes in. It's always a great signing by RB Leipzig.
And then let us take the rest of the games and we'll start top of the table. And we keep being, I don't know, a bit taken aback by the fact that we keep mentioning these teams on the top of the table, but we have Union Berlin. We have the infamous now Becker Subachu or Jordan, whatever you might be called, linking up with each their goal. Becker now, the top scorer. I think he's involved now in 9 of the 15 goals Union Berlin have this season. Incredible. And we have two Norwegians there as well, which we should be proud of.
Absolutely. It's Rierson and Torsby, mm-hmm. both there. And Union Berlin is top of the league. 5 points. 5 points ahead of mighty Bayern Munich.
And you mentioned it briefly, but in terms of Bayern coming back, and it certainly has an effect on maybe their psychology, the Bayern players. But it's one of those, let's enjoy it while we can, huh?
Yeah, we should do. I mean, how long should we talk about Union Berlin at the top of the league? We would love to do that. I mean, if we were cynical, we would say, well, we could have hoped that it was Dortmund being 5 points ahead of Bayern, and then they're playing each other and Dortmund winning that game. But I don't think we should do that now. If you see the progress of Union Berlin, if we talked about that before, is that like promotion, mm-hmm. safe place, Conference League, Europa League, I don't know, maybe Champions League, maybe winning the league. I see some send me a tweet saying that maybe they could be the new Leicester. I mean, oh, that would be a dream.
They have struggled a bit in Europe,
Yeah.
two losses,
Yeah.
but even still, massive,
Concentrate on the league.
massive credit. We also had the Revere Derby. We have briefly mentioned
A bit sad.
that.
It was a bit sad.
Yeah, but good news following the fact that we thought that the tournament, major tournament curse that Marco Reus does have, in fact, seems to be now 3 weeks out with his ankle ligaments, which was good news.
Very
Hopefully, you
good.
can see him as part of a rejuvenated German team. Moukoko with the header.
Great header.
Great header.
And be you as a defender, I mean, how can a 17-year-old fly above two big center half kind of
But
stuff?
it's a perfect ball. So a little bit of
Yeah,
ball
very good.
watching. And he
Yeah.
said he dreamt of that as a kid. And he's only,
He's a kid.
yeah, I know, true. Good
He's
point.
17.
He dreamt that actually the night before. So 1-0 to them,
Yeah.
win again, deservedly, but still a little scrappy game. They seem to keep
Good
going by. But as we've discussed,
habit.
good habit. Leverkusen with Demiray, another absolute peach of a goal. But Werder Bremen come back late yet again.
And watch that position. And I should be a bit afraid when I do that because I've been right so many times. And the Leverkusen coach, well, one or two games, and he will struggle because they were very ambitious. And I liked that. And I said that before. I liked Leverkusen said, we're going to attack the Bundesliga this season. But now they have been struggling. Of course, great thing to beat Atletico Madrid in the Champions League. That was a very positive thing for them. But their Swiss coach have to be afraid, I think.
Yeah, they've been patient with him. I'll
Yeah.
say that
And
much.
Niko Kovac.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Well, we talked
exactly.
about him before, not losing again.
But it's tough for some of these coaches. If we go quickly through it, we had Mainz who equalized very, very, very late on against the Hertha that seems to be getting
Yeah.
steadily better. We have Leverkusen, obviously, we mentioned, and we had Bochum, who
Bochum.
under the first game after Thomas Reisch,
Rice.
Reisch,
I think I'm rice.
Reisch, got an early goal, own goal, into which Köln equalized.
2 minutes before the end.
Yeah, but deservedly.
Yeah, they
De
deserve it. Still,
deservedly as well.
Bochum, it's still you need when you're
Yeah,
down
of
there. You just
course.
feel you don't have the luck,
I know, I know,
know.
I know, I know,
So you
I
feel
know.
for Bochum.
Hoffenheim, Freiburg, nil nil.
Yeah.
Freiburg with a few draws now, but teams that both have been doing very well this season. And then we can end it with Eintracht away to
Oh,
Stuttgart.
I watched that game. I watched
And
that game. They were brilliant. That was Bayern. No, sorry, that was Eintracht Frankfurt. Like we like to see them a bit enthusiasm, scoring from midfield. I love that. And I just make a note here about Kamada scoring. He's also one of these unsung heroes. I mean, he's always coming there. He's slipping in and get his position.
And even Rod is scoring goals now as well.
Rode, Sebastian Rode, who was doubtful before the game because he was injured, and he came back to that. So now it was an amazing change now. But if you have a look at the table, because now suddenly Eintracht is up there
Yeah.
at a couple of wins, and you're up there, and that is a good thing about the beginning of the season because it kind of make a direction. It's easier to take the direction down there because if you win two games, you're up there. Ask
Yeah,
Manchester United fans when you're suddenly up there sniffing at the Champions League places. So, but Union Wolfsburg again, Union producing the stuff when they had to, top of the league. Can you imagine? And I say it again, if you want to go to a fantastic place to watch football, go to Union Berlin. It's going back a bit in the past, but in a modern way. Yeah, great story with Union Berlin
perfect. That is us reporting from the Fjordtoft basement. Sioane and Kovac stay another week or a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
Who we'll see.
that is a problem with the international break because they say it's good for the coaches under pressure to get a week. I'm not sure of that. I
Yeah.
said yesterday I worked with the Premier League this week and I said I got a feeling that, for example, Brendan Rodgers could get a very long international break. So because then you have time to sit down, you have to analyze. And if the people in head, for example, in Leverkusen with Simon Rolfes, he will sit down with his coach and maybe he doesn't believe in the ideas he has to get out of it. Or Schmatke in Wolfsburg. I don't understand how we get out, because you can't say, Brendan Rodgers, for example, he say we have to play good, we have to do the passing, which they do. They're good going forward. Madison, I love his goal and everything, but they conceded 11. So when he talks with his head of sport, they will sit down with him and say, yeah, but how are you going to stop conceding on set pieces? How are you going to stop conceding goals? And if you can't give a convincing answer, you're gone.
A lot of time to think for the executives and the ones making the decisions. We will be back, I reckon, some point next week.
Yeah, we have to follow the international.
Yeah, we have to.
German players in the international. And of course, we'll talk about Norway and Germany, of course, warming up now for Qatar World Cup. And the great news, like Marcus said, is that Marco Reus could be back. He's missed a World Cup medal. He's going to win the gold with Germany. He was the star player ahead of that. But you can ask Mikael Ballack, happened the same to him before the 2000. Not 2000, when he's going to South Africa in the World Cup. So that happens.
Yeah. More international football trivia we will continue with for next week. For this time, goodbye.
Auf Wiedersehen. Thanks for watching, and please subscribe. And if you have any comments, any issues, themes that you want us to discuss, give us a comment and we always reply to that. And if you know something that we don't know, which you probably do, just give us a shout.